Oh man, what a romantic song about a man and his boat.
She's big and she's strong and she's mighty. Some of us sailors call her our own. Guess that's the reason why I treat her like a lady. Just treat her like a lady.
That's my Bob Seger version of this song.
I don't like the sound of the ground.
This song grooves.
It's good.
Her wind's spinning out of control. California earthquakes on the scene to make on me shake, rattle, and roll.
Oh, baby.
Oh, yeah. Welcome to the Parrothead Podcast. I am Ryan Middledorf.
And I'm in love with the ocean. I'm Patrick McDonald.
No, I'm not.
I would say me and the ocean are like, we know each other. And like, we've had good times together, but we wouldn't call each other for any sort of emergency, or we wouldn't expect each other to be there for each other. This is your podcast for all things Jimmy Buffett. And today we are talking Jimmy Buffett love songs because it's Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day, Patrick.
Happy Valentine's Day to you, Ryan, the only person I want to spend my Valentine's Day with. This is it. I mean, this is it. And this is the only one I am spending my Valentine's Day with because I'm incredibly alone, Ryan.
You're never alone when you have Jimmy Buffett music.
That's true. And I've tried to tell Jimmy that, but he won't return my faxes.
Well, I think I can spot the problem already.
What do you think? I don't know.
Actually, no, I'm gonna walk back on that. Jimmy, I think, has... I think he's a fax machine fanatic.
Yeah. I think so. I think he definitely has maybe even a room full of fax machines.
He's got like 6 fax machines lining a wall.
Yeah. It's like, this one's got a phone. This one's also a printer. Like, he's like, he loves all of his fax machines.
Big fan. He's like how Tom Hanks loves typewriters, Jimmy Buffett loves fax machines.
Yes, and a Jimmy Buffett's fax machine app is coming out pretty soon. I can't wait.
It's so good.
It's really good. Ryan, how are you doing right now in the middle of this pandemic?
Oh, you know, I'm good. And it's crazy. We're still in the middle of this pandemic.
Can you believe it? And it's still the middle. Can you believe how long the middle has been?
Oh my God, it's been the middle since like last April.
It has been the middle. I think the beginning of the pandemic was March to April.
Yes.
14 days, and then we're in the middle.
Uh-huh.
And then the end is TBD.
Buddy, I'm going strong. I was telling you earlier off mic that I woke up this morning at 7 o'clock after going to bed at like 3 o'clock, and I decided that at 7 o'clock in the morning, I just shot up and said, I'm going to make some ginger syrup.
Oh my God.
So there I was with my coffee, 7 o'clock in the morning, just shaving ginger with a spoon, making a mess, getting ginger in my eye, which hurts a lot.
It's a stinger. Yeah, that'll definitely sting you.
Yeah, so but I made some real good ginger syrup, and now I don't know what to do with it.
Did you not put it on anything?
Not yet.
Is it a type of syrup that you put in a drink, or is it a type of syrup you put on like a pancake?
I guess you could do both. It's more of like...
So we don't know what it's for.
it's more of like a... Like, I think I'm going to make Moscow mules with it.
Oh, that sounds good.
So it's more of like a simple syrup, but I really just made it and threw it in the fridge. I have no plans to make Moscow mules anytime soon. So now I have that.
Sounds unhinged. That's good. Well, good. I'm glad you have that.
I'm doing great. How about you? What's new?
You know, I'm good. I have also had my cooking adventures this weekend. I remembered on Thursday night that I had an air fryer, and I've gone hog wild with it.
Oh, no.
My Friday night consisted of me making 2 Bloomin' Onions, you know, the Outback Steakhouse fried onion. I ate them both by myself, and then I felt so sick.
That was what I did on Friday. Can I ask what was the thought process behind making 2?
So the thought process was I signed up for this service that kind of ships you groceries, and I got 3 onions from them last week. And I was like, what am I going to do with these onions? I just didn't know. And I was like, oh, I have an air fryer. Maybe I should do something with that. And then I was like, well, I could try to make the bloom an onion. And I found some recipes online. I went for it. And I overcooked both of them. I found breadcrumbs and everything. I did the whole to-do. I made everything. And I've made a bunch of other stuff in this air fryer this week. I made wings in the air fryer. I put asparagus in the air fryer. I made french fries in the air fryer. It was very delicious. All of that worked. And my bloomin' onion was a massive fail. A huge fail. In a big way, in a bad way. And so I'm not going to be doing that again. It's also hard to cut the bloomin' onion. I mean, respect to the Outback Steakhouse, because you have to cut it specifically. And those onions are huge. They're freakishly large because this onion is too small.
I know. I've tried to cut an onion like that before, and it's very, very tricky. You need like all that surface area. But yeah, I don't know how they get their onions so big. It's crazy.
It's freakish. So it's good to know that now. It's nice to know that I'll never be able to do it. You know, I can just put that away. I can say that's something I'll never accomplish. And it's nice to know your limits.
Yes.
So that's good news.
Good.
But yeah, other than that, we're smack dab in the middle of this thing, baby. We're rocking and rolling.
Patty, what are you listening to right now?
Oh, man. Well, here's the thing. What I'm listening to right now, it's a very specific song. I found this week. There is a comedian who is also like a songwriter, but he writes really great songs. His name is Whitmer Thomas. He is an LA stand-up. I think he's incredible. And he wrote this song called Rigmarole. He posted it to his Instagram, actually. So I sent you the Instagram link. And I just think this might be the most perfect Instagram song. Or sorry, this might be the most perfect quarantine song that I have ever heard. It perfectly encapsulates to me exactly what it's like to be stuck in the middle of a quarantine. And I just think we all need to give it a listen. I've listened to it like 8 to 12 times this week.
Let's check it out.
Babadoo. Folks on caption, thirst trap malaise. No satisfaction online these days. Sink a little deeper into the haze. Piss away the money I finally got paid. Buy a new pair of shoes and play guitar.
It's good, right?
I like
it. It's a good song.
It is good. That is Whitmer Thomas, Rigmarole.
Whitmer Thomas, Rigmarole. You can go to his Instagram at Whitmer Thomas, and I highly recommend it. It's one of my faves.
It's very good.
Ryan, what are you listening to? Thank you so much. What's going on for you in the music world?
So I have been continuing on in my journey through music I used to listen to that I no longer listen to now.
I love this journey.
This is a fun journey. There was a band that I saw in high school at this venue that I've talked about before in DC called the Black Cat. I knew nothing about them, but I really loved the show. I used to just go to shows with friends just like on a whim. We would just drive down to DC. And
man,
you know,
I love that. Just seeing live music. What a blast.
Seeing live music, which we don't get to do anymore.
Not at all.
Which sucks. But this band, do you know the band Cut Copy?
I think I've heard of them.
Yeah, they're an electronic band. Really, really good. They've been around for a while, actually. But their song Lights and Music is really, really great. So I've been digging on that recently. So I'm going to play a little bit of Lights and Music. This is from Cut Copy.
Ooh.
Copy.
That's really fun. I love this. I mean, this to me feels like almost like near trance music, which is fun.
Yes.
During a quarantine, you know? Yeah. It's just like you just get lost in the tunes.
Totally, totally. And if anybody
just like cleaning the same spot on a counter for like 4 hours.
And I've been there. I've been there. Also, if anybody could see
I wasn't talking into my mic, sorry.
That's why I record the Zoom audio too.
So sorry for that last maybe 30 seconds.
But if anybody could see us, we are over Zoom, and usually when we're together, Patrick and I are just kind of like, you know, dancing to the music and stuff. We're doing the same thing over Zoom, but we're in like a little tiny box, so we're just sitting in our chairs looking like idiots.
We're just really, I mean, we're moving and grooving, you know?
We're moving and grooving.
It's just a commercial for Zoom, you know? This was, yes. They would take that clip and be like, do what you used to do over Zoom now. So that's good.
Patty, do we have any Buffett news?
We have a little bit of Buffett news, Ryan. It's very exciting. You know we're keeping an eye out on all the brand new Margaritavilles. And
yes.
This was announced a couple weeks ago, but we haven't recorded since. There's a couple new Margaritavilles of note that I want to bring up, but one of them, the most important one, is Margaritaville Resort in Palm. Nope, that one's done. One of the biggest ones I want to bring up is the Margaritaville Resort. One of the biggest ones I want to bring up.
This is all staying in.
No. Okay, fine. One of the biggest ones I want to bring up is the Margaritaville Resort in Times Square.
Huge.
I know. That was all anticipation. I was trying to build hype. I was trying to, you know, that was on purpose. All my mistakes, for the record. I never made a mistake on this podcast. It is very exciting. It's going to be right in the middle of Times Square. Full resort, giant kind of situation there. Let me see. It's 32-story tower. That they're turning into a resort, and It's, I guess he already has about 22 resort properties across the U.S. But this one is significant because it's going to be the first Margaritaville resort with, get this, a synagogue inside of it.
This is so, so funny.
It's so funny. It's so exciting. I think it's going to be very clear who's walking in, who's going to the Margaritaville, and who's going to the synagogue. They wrote about this on Curbed, so I'll read just a little bit. Because there's a question that's, wait, is there going, there's going to be a synagogue in the Margaritaville Time Resort Times Square? Yes. In 2014, the new school sold its building at 560 7th Avenue to Soho Properties, prompting the closure of the Garment Center Congregation Synagogue, which was given a 99-year lease for $1 a year in the 1970s. In order to purchase the building, Soho Properties' El Gamal had to negotiate with the congregation, and he agreed to build a synagogue, complete with a kosher kitchen, no cheeseburgers in Talmudic paradise, and a small terrace for a sukkah in the new building. The synagogue's lobby will be on the first floor, and it will also occupy two below-ground levels. We can safely say this would be the first synagogue in Margaritaville.
That is the most New York thing ever.
It's so New York. The Great American Melting Pot.
Yes, absolutely. I love this so much, and I'm excited for this resort, maybe more than any other resort, because I feel like the strangest place to put a Margaritaville resort is in Times Square.
Yeah.
I cannot think of a stranger place to put this. So I feel like they need to really double down on the kitschiness of it.
They have to go hog wild. They have to go balls to the wall with Margaritaville everything. I mean, we've had a giant flip-flop statue in the normal Margaritavilles, you know, on Hollywood Beach in Florida.
Yep.
There's a giant flip-flop. What are we thinking here? I did read that I believe there's going to be a Statue of Liberty drinking a margarita.
Which is exactly what I'm talking
That's
about.
That's what we want. That's what we're looking for. We love that.
Love that. Like, this needs to be like a tourist destination. Like, oh, you gotta see the crazy shit that they put up at the Margaritaville Times Square.
It is so exciting. The restaurant as well. So the tower will have five restaurants and bars that promise to ease the pain of Senior Frog's closure. I guess there was a Senior Frog's that closed. So there's the Margaritaville restaurant, the Landshark Bar and Grill, the License to Chill Bar, the 5 o'clock Somewhere Bar, and Joe Merchant. We've never heard of Joe Merchant before.
This is new.
And I'm excited to tell you about Joe Merchant, because here's what it says here. Let me see. Should you run into a hangover in paradise, Joe Merchant, Margaritaville's Starbucks-style coffee shop, will be there to lend a helping hand. So we have a new competitor in the arena, folks. We have the Margaritaville version of a Starbucks, Joe Merchant.
This is a whole new avenue for merchandise.
Yes.
I mean, I bet you $100 right now that within a year and a half, you're going to see Joe Merchant K-Cups at your local Costco.
Oh my gosh. I can't wait. I can't freaking wait. Joe, get him everywhere. Joe Merchant's going to be everywhere.
Jimmy has frozen shrimp. He's got blenders. He has liquor. He does not have coffee, though, until now.
He's jumping an aisle. We're jumping. Yes. Jimmy is officially jumping into a new aisle on the grocery store with Joe Merchant coffee products.
How long before you think there's an actual Margaritaville grocery store?
Oh, gosh. It'll be like a Trader Joe's, absolutely, right?
Absolutely.
And then it's all just Margaritaville brands.
Yes.
I would say 8 months. They'll make a little marketplace.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, absolutely. That's so exciting. So, yeah, we're really looking forward to that. The other Margaritaville advancement that we'd like to discuss is, and Ryan, I don't know if you know about this. I haven't told you about this yet. There is, in Pigeon Forge, the introduction of Camp Margaritaville, an RV resort.
What?
Yeah. So guests set up camp in their RVs, stay in a cabin, or book a room in the lodge. There will be also a camp store, restaurant and bar, pickleball courts, putting green, pool, kiddie play area, and water slide. According to the Camp Margaritaville website, The RV sites will offer large sites, upscale bath facilities, and Wi-Fi connections so that campers can rough it with luxury.
Whoa.
Yeah, so we're going into a whole new territory. I would say quarantine has been great for the creatives over at the Margaritaville business properties, Unlimited. this is their second Camp Margaritaville. The first one is located on Georgia's Lake Lanier.
Okay.
And it's pretty huge. So now you can get the surf, you can get the sun, and then you can go camping all under the guise of Margaritaville.
That's so fun. I want to do that.
I know, me too. That would be so much fun.
Oh my gosh, that would be a blast. How fun.
Oh my gosh, I know. So we're expanding at a rapid rate and it's very exciting. We as in they, because we are in no way affiliated with them.
No, no. I would love to be part of the team that just gets to ideate around this stuff, because it feels like they just get told yes to everything.
I think so. I mean, it really, really feels like that. I wonder when there's going to be a Margaritaville, Alaska.
You know,
there's going to be one. There's going to be a turn up the heat and chill the rosé situation up there. Party at the end of the world, you know?
I love that. Absolutely.
Patagonia?
Yes.
Let's do it.
I'm in.
It's so exciting. It's so nice. And these resorts are so actually nice. They're so comfy and cozy in the amenities. They're all top notch.
Have you ever stayed at a Margaritaville resort?
I don't think so, but you know how many pictures I've seen of those things. I mean, they look great. I want to go to the Palm Springs one. I really want to go to the Palm Springs one.
It's so close. We got to do it.
We got to do it. Yeah, I can't wait. We have to. And it feels clean and safe.
It's on the list.
It's on the list. It's on the freaking list. We're going to do it. Once we feel like it's okay to go, we should go.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Ryan, it's time for the main event. I think we should talk about our love songs, our Valentine's Day Jimmy Buffett songs.
Let's do it. I would love to know what your thought process was behind selecting these songs. What was the criteria?
Okay, so this is interesting because we, of course, discussed that we wanted to, in honor of Valentine's Day, figure out our favorite Jimmy Buffett romance and love songs. In my mind, I was like, Jimmy Buffett has a bunch of love songs. Jimmy Buffett is a romantic guy. He's a sweetheart, you know? He always talks about love, but the more I started thinking about Jimmy Buffett love songs, the more I realized that none of them are straight-up love songs. He doesn't have any, like, you know, my endless love. Like, he doesn't have any... You're not playing any of these songs on, like, the smooth jazz station at 11 o'clock at night. These are not
right.
You know... These are strong point of view songs that have maybe an ounce of love in them or an aspect of love, but there's something else to it because they're incredibly specific. So I guess what ended up happening for me was I went with songs that were kind of the most creative love songs to me.
Okay, yeah.
Or the most traditional love songs with the most creative point of view, or they sound like love songs, but there's something else going on. What about you, Ryan?
Yes. You know, I had a similar sort of approach, like anything with sort of, romantic undertones worked. Like the hard thing is that Jimmy writes songs about people with flaws. Like there's no perfect Jimmy Buffett love song.
Right.
There's no like, we love each other and everything is great and there are no problems. Like all of these songs, you know, there's some difficulty there. There's some heartbreak even. So I feel like I kind of went both ways with it. Like there are two different sides to a Jimmy Buffett love song. But the interest, like you mentioned, you know, they're hard point of view songs. And, you know, they're written about real life. It's not like a fairy tale or anything like that.
No. They're very human people.
Yes. So it was really interesting to kind of go through these and select them. It was more difficult than I thought it would be.
I agree. It took me a second. We were actually about to start, and we had to take like 5 minutes to both be like, wait, what is it? Hold on. What's going on?
Yeah.
So I'm excited.
Do you want to go first? What's your first song?
Yeah. So this is the song that I was like, you would definitely play this on like a romantic date. I also tried to look at songs that you would play in a romantic setting. So there's something there that would be helpful and sweet. But this song is, to me, the most romantic sounding song that Jimmy has, but the lyrics maybe don't suggest that as much. This song is called Pre-You.
This was almost on my list as well.
Was it?
Yes.
Pre-You. I think it's, I mean, it's romantic for sure, but it's just a little different, you know? It's like, it's certainly something romantic is going on there, but there's something else going on too.
This is a good one. Let's give it a listen. Pre-You.
Mysterious lost weekends in a land where time stands still, where people fall in love again just for one more thrill. My girl and I went walking by the Caribbean Sea. Someone snorkeled by, raised her head up high, and my girl said, "Who's she?" Pre-You, a friend of mine who's old, not new. Pre-You, she's just another girl that I once knew. Pleasant smile, pretty face, another time, another place. Pre-You, what's a guy supposed to do?
Pre-You.
I mean, it definitely, if you were like making out with someone to that song, they might hear the lyrics or and be like, wait, what's going on?
what are you talking about?
Yeah, so it's like if they start listening to it, it's like, what? So this is a love song about another girl to singing to the girl that you actually love? Like, what's going on?
This is a song that I would love a straight up like R&B cover of.
Yeah, it would be really, you know? Sexy.
Yes.
It would be so sexy. Like if the Isley Brothers could do this one, that would
give
be really
give me a break.
Good. Oh my,
oh my
gosh.
Gosh.
So that's my first love song, my Jimmy Buffett love song.
Like we said, it's tough. It's a tough category.
It's tough. Well, cuz we, you know, as deep as we go into it, you know, like
yes.
We'll never be satisfied because we're overanalyzing every little thing. But these songs are so specific about specific aspects of love that it makes for a fun, interesting listen, but it doesn't make for a great Valentine's Day playlist. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah, true.
And of course, if you disagree, please send us your thoughts, send us your love Valentine's Day picks, paredheadpodcast@gmail.com, paredheadpod on Twitter. Let us know, please.
Please, absolutely.
Ryan, what is your first pick for Jimmy Buffett love song?
So my first pick, this is a song that I really struggled with putting on the list. I tried so hard to leave it off, but I kept coming back to it.
Really?
I don't know if you feel similarly, but I always try to not include the hits. I love finding those gems and playing those gems.
Right.
But sometimes you gotta include the hits, you know?
Wow, so you just couldn't quit this song.
I couldn't quit this song. This song and I have a strained relationship, I would say.
Yep, I know you do. I already know this one.
Yes, this one, you know, there's a bit of controversy around it, for me anyways. I still don't think there's I don't think it's incredibly truthful. And I would love to get to the bottom. I would love to know. I would love to know some answers. But I couldn't not include it on this playlist. This is probably Jimmy's most popular, most famous love song. It is "Come Monday."
Oh yeah, I mean, come on. You're right. This is obligatory.
Yes, you got to do it. So let's give it a listen. "Come Monday."
Maybe his one true love song.
It could be. You're right.
Heading out to San Francisco for the Labor Day weekend show. I got my hush puppies on. I guess I never was meant for glitter rock and roll. And honey, I didn't know that I'd be missing you so. Come Monday, it'll be alright. Come Monday, I'll be holding you tight. I spent four lonely days in a brown LA haze, and I just want you back by my side. Yes, it's been quite a summer. Rent a cars and westbound trains, and now you're off on vacation. Something you try to explain. And darling, it's I love you so. That's the reason I just let you go. Come Monday, it'll be alright. Come Monday, I'll be holding you tight. I spent four lonely days in a brown LA haze, and I just want you back by my side.
I mean, it's a perfect song. It's great.
It's a great song. And that might be the reason that it is such a mainstream hit for Jimmy. The fact that it's this straightforward love song. It's simple.
Yeah. Because also at the time, you know, love songs were a huge hit on the radio.
That's true. And they still
are. That's what people wanted. They still are. Definitely. Yeah.
I think it's true too, because the reason we love Jimmy is that he defies genre so many times, but in order to get on the radio, you kind of have to fit into a certain genre. So
definitely
it's amazing. And then, but that's all, the rules are always broken, because then somebody else comes along and they defy genres and they jump all over the place. You got a Casey Musgraves, you got a Billie Eilish, you know, somebody comes along, they change the genre up, and then that's what everyone's trying to chase. It's a whole thing, man. And I'm frustrated, bro.
Who's this guy?
It's, you know, I host another podcast called Music Industry Can Suck My Butt. That's what it's called. And you guys got to come over and listen to it. And I'm just railing on the music industry. I'm speaking truth to power. And I'm telling you guys, we really got to... It's all a show, smoke and mirrors. It's all a magic act. And guess what? I'm not fooled. I see the coin behind your ear, man. And I know where that rabbit's been, bro.
I want a whole episode with this guy.
Oh, God. We'll have to book him. He's really hard to book. He's really busy.
I'm sure.
So.
I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah. So you have to let me know. His name is Skater.
Skater, great. What is your number two song?
All right. My number two song is another unconventional love song, because it implies that there is love involved.
Okay.
But it maybe is a little bit of pain. And it's it's a sweet song at the end of the day. But it's also like a lesser discussed song on our end. The song is from One Particular Harbor, 1983. And the song is "Why You Wanna Hurt My Heart."
Ooh, okay.
Why you want to hurt my heart? Because you know that I love you at the end of the day. You know, it's a real honest thought, you know, and I think it is definitely a love song, because it's about love, but it's about maybe being in love and being in a fight at the same time.
I love that. Where is it? Here we go. Okay. "Why You Want to Hurt My Heart." Let's give it a listen.
A really good one.
Why you wanna hurt my heart? Why you wanna hurt my heart when you know that I love you?
everybody around us can see just how it ought to be. Everybody but you play your little game of deception. Soon there's gonna be a connection. When you're blue, oh, when you're blue, I know it's just a cry and shame. Nobody left to blame, nobody but you. If I could turn back.
Fan of that.
And that song really, I mean, I don't use this phrase a lot, but that song slaps. That's a great song. It's a great song.
We were sleeping on that one.
We really slept on that one. And this is something exciting. I can't believe we haven't discussed this before, because there is a cover of this song by our favorites, the Neville Brothers.
No way.
Yes, we have to listen to it because it is,
yes.
We were just talking about wanting an R&B version of the last song of Pre You. Well, we've got an R&B version of Why You Wanna Hurt My Heart. And it's by our guys. It's by Art, Cyril, Aaron, and Charlie. I mean, it's a hit.
Let's give it a listen.
Okay, we have to listen. I really love this version.
Why you wanna hurt my heart? Why you wanna hurt my heart? Everybody around us can see just how it ought to be. Everybody but you. You played your little game of deception. Bet there's gonna be a connection when you're blue. Just a crying shame. Got nobody to blame, nobody but you. Sing it with me one time now. Why you wanna hurt my heart?
Oh yeah.
Why you wanna hurt my heart? You know that I love you. City just a crying shame. Got nobody to blame, nobody but you.
What I'm just now realizing how great some of Jimmy's music would be translated into R&B.
Yeah.
This
it's
is
true.
A mind-blowing revelation for me.
It's true. I read something about how he wanted Hot Water to basically be an R&B album recently.
And I mean, that he was in a sense, going it kind of it. Is.
It kind of is. And that's why we talked a lot about how his voice is different. He's doing different things with it. The voice, and I think he was going for R&B. And I think that's incredible.
That's fascinating.
Yeah, he really kills it. And that song is so good. It's so easy into that genre. Like, it fits perfectly. And I would say Valentine's-wise, you know, you might play this song a little earlier in the date. You know, you might play this while you're cooking together. Or you might play this, you know, when you're, you know, the music is in the background and it's like we're having a fun time, you know?
Yes.
This is not a makeout song.
No.
I mean, it could be. I don't know you. I don't know you. I don't know what you're making out to, you know? Some people probably make out to Metallica. Some people probably hear Enter Sandman and they go wild. I don't know. There's a lot of people in the world. We don't know this.
We don't know. We just don't know. We don't know.
If you make out to Enter Sandman, please tweet at us at Fairdenbot on Twitter. Fairdenbot@gmail.com. We'd like to do an extensive interview with you.
Absolutely. So funny.
Ryan, Valentine's Day songs, number two, what is it for you?
Number two, this is a bit of a a longing song. It's a little sad.
Ooh.
I'm gonna say it's a little sad. It's about okay. someone who is alone and wanting someone but can't have them. This is a cover of a Patsy Cline song. Really, really solid song from Fruitcakes. This is She's Got You.
Ooh, that's good.
Did you know this was a Patsy? Did we talk about that? It's a Patsy Cline cover?
I don't know if we talked about that, which is bad on our part.
I just found out this morning. That's crazy.
That's so cool.
So She's Got You, Jimmy Buffett. Let's give it a listen.
I've got your picture you gave to me, and it's signed with love just like it used to be. Only thing different, only thing new, I've got your picture, she's got you. I've got the record we used to share, and they still sound the same when you were here. Only thing different, only thing new, I've got your record, he's got you. I've got your memory, or has it got me? Really don't know, but I know it won't let me be.
Won't let me be.
Fingers.
Oh yeah. Fingers.
Love this song.
It's so good.
It's really, really good. And
it's almost like Zydeco-esque, or like definitely New Orleans-y.
Absolutely. And I didn't realize how many people had covered this song. Loretta Lynn, Leanne Rimes, Dean Martin covered it.
Well, what's so funny about this is now that you say that, I know the Patsy Cline version, but the Patsy Cline version is so different. It's so like schmaltzy and slow and delicate.
Yeah.
So to turn this into like a party song is so cool.
Roseanne Cash, Cat Power did a version of this song.
Whoa, wow, Cat Power.
Yeah. There's a lot on here. It's great. So yeah, she's cover. Got you. Good stuff.
Awesome. That's really, really good.
What about you, buddy? Your last track.
Last Jimmy Buffett love song. I was gonna say, longing seems to be a big Jimmy Buffett motif.
Yes.
He's in agony. He's longing. He's searching for something, or he is in love with something that he can't get at the moment. You know?
Yes.
I think that's a very common theme. This maybe doesn't relate to that. Maybe it does. But this one is just felt like a nice love song that I don't give a lot of attention to. Another unconventional love song. It's Lady I Can't Explain.
Ooh, simple, good choice.
Just a simple kind of, you know, just kind of being like, look, I don't, very Jimmy, you know, look, I don't know. It's from Volcano. It's saying, I'm not sure. I can't tell you why I love you, but I love you. I can't explain.
I can't explain it. And sometimes that's explain. Okay.
Yeah. And this felt like a very fun, simple love song for me in a good, unconventional manner.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What could I do that's never been done before?
This bass.
What can I say that hasn't been said by scores? If I was a designer, I could do nothing finer than dress you in style. But I'm a hopeless romantic, still behind all these annexes, a heart full of smiles. So I'll just keep on dreaming.
I'll just keep on dreaming.
Thoughts that are in my brain. You just keep on being. Lady, I can't explain. I know that
good choice.
It's a really, really good one. And there's a lot going on. We got the bass, we got the harmonica, we got the background vocals. We're doing every single thing we can in that song. And I love that. I love a full sound.
I do too. Oh, good choice. I love that.
Yes, I know. So that's, I don't know where you'd play that on your romantic date. Maybe when you, it's like one of those like care to dance kind of in the living room, you know, oh, I love this song. Do you want to dance? You guys have kind of a, you know, I don't know, surprise dance party. That sounds
how
right
sweet. I love a surprise dance party.
Me too. I think it's really nice. Again, if you make out to this song, you could. This could happen, you know? It works. Try it. Give it a shot.
Yes.
It could happen. It could work. Ryan, your final love song, your final Jimmy Buffett romance tune. What are you going with?
My final song, another longing song.
Ooh.
This is a big theme. R&B and longing is a huge theme that we're hitting on.
Oh, it is? I mean, that is true. R&B is all about longing. R&B is all about, I mean, those two things work very well together anyway, so it makes a lot of sense to me.
Absolutely. This song is from A1A. It's one of my, it's got to be in the top like 15 for me of favorite songs.
Wow.
It's really, really good. And it's one that we don't hit on enough. It's similar in that way to like Nautical Wheelers. It's just consistently something that I enjoy listening to. This is Presents to Send You.
Oh, I love this. I was thinking about this one too.
This is a good one. Let's give it a listen.
Well, now I'm in love with a fast-moving angel, dresses like the city girls do. When we're apart, there's no egg in my heart. When we're together, we're a hell of a crew. And I got presents to send you, even got money to lend you. But honey, I can never ever pretend you're not there on my mind. There sits a fifth of tequila. God, I swore I'd never drink it again. But my last little bout, I had my hair pulled out by a man who really wasn't my friend. And I know I'll never see him again. Yeah, I got presents to send you. I've even got money to lend you. But honey, I can never ever pretend you're not there on my mind. Yeah, I thought I might sail down the bridge to spend some time in the Barbados sun. But my plans took a skid when I smoked the whole lid and wound up where I'd begun. Yes, and I got presents to send you. I've even got money to lend.
I got presents to send you, even got money to lend you. But honey, I can never pretend you're not there on my mind.
Oh.
It's a good
what
one.
A sweet, I mean, longing. I mean, it is so funny that he doesn't have any straight up, I love you, we're in love, this is the best day of my life kind of music.
I wonder if it's because he was touring so much. Like a lot of these songs feel like road weary songs. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And that's such a funny thing to think about too. Like another deeper level where it's like, we always praise his prolificness. We praise how much he did. We praise how hard he worked. And then all of his work was about how sad he was that he wasn't with the people he loved. That's so funny that it's like this weird thing where it's he's showing the downside of his success in his music, which in effect is successful.
Right, right. It's deep. A strange kind of cyclical sort of thing.
It's really weird. It's really, really strange. Thanks for all your longing, Jimmy. We're glad you sacrificed that to articulate that into music for the other people who are also longing.
Yes.
It's good news.
And if you have any love songs, romantic songs, longing songs that you want to submit to us, we would love to hear them. You can email parrotheadpodcast@gmail.com or parrotheadpod on Twitter. Send us your recommendations.
Absolutely. And I know we missed a couple of them. I mean, Coast of Marseille is obviously one there, but we give a lot of lip service to Coast of Marseille.
Yes.
So it's, a lot of, tell us what we missed. We love to hear that. We love to know.
Absolutely. Actually, should we end on Coast of Marseille?
Let's do it. Yeah.
Let's do it. I was going to end on Enter Sandman, but I feel like Metallica and rights and stuff like that is not.
Yeah, they actually are pretty intense with that.
Yeah, they are.
So they'd be the first. We'd be the first case.
We're going to stay away from Metallica.
Yeah, we stay away from Metallica. Sorry, but, do you want me to change the name of Enter Sandman? Just even mentioning it makes you nervous. Here comes Sleepy Guy.
I like it better. I like it better.
Okay, good. We're going to far, far away world. Anyways, sorry.
Until next time, I am Mayfair Marleybone.
I'm St. Charles, Tennessee. Have a great week.
Meet you at the end. Bye bye.
Hello. Bye bye.
Hello.
Well, that was a rough one. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, some nice ocean noise to send everyone off into their Valentine's days.
Jump on your boat and go to Loveland.
Gross.
Oh, God.
I sat there on the coast of Marseille. My thoughts came by like wind through my hands. How good it'd be to feel you again. How good it'd be to feel that way again. Would you be remembering me? I ask that question time and again. The answer came and haunted me so. I would not want to think it again. No, I would.
My name is Will Himes, and I am a ghostwriter, meaning I write other people's books for them. And I have a podcast called I Will Write Your Book, which are recordings of my meetings with my eccentric clients, such as a woman blocked after one sentence of a children's book about her dogs, a romance novelist who dislikes sex, and a man proud of having sampled everything in his local grocery store. This podcast has been described as fully improvised, played by some of the best comedians on the planet Earth. Hey, that's pretty good. That's I Will Write Your Book on Campfire Media.
Campfire.